Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the NATO Summit. Notable authors together optimize. Choices. Awe-inspiring choices revealed by successful entrepreneurs. Introduced by Kathy Watson. When I chose to undertake this mammoth task of writing choices, I decided to invite contributing authors. I immediately thought of people who've been in my life for over 30 years. People who personify living life to the fullest and who had some glimmer of wisdom to share with others that could lead them to enjoying their life to the fullest. Fasten your seatbelts. Be ready for takeoff. You're about to soar with the eagles. Soaring to heights of grandeur. Through the years. I chose to live. It's never too late. From humble beginnings to success, living my life in paradise. A journey in awareness. My life's work. How the son of a migrant farm worker reached the American dream. From to freedom. Divine intervention. My journey of choices. The will to be happy. Steel Mill Mama. Did I pique your interest? You won't be able to put the nonfiction book down. With this book, Help and Hope, it's just a page away. To you, to life, to success. It's your choice. You're listening to Live with Kathy. On Blog Talk Radio, the world's largest social network, reaching listeners not only locally, but nationally and internationally. You could log on blogtalkradio.com to hear the show. And of course, it's archived. blogtalkradio.com/Kathy Watson, CathiWatson. And click on February 12th, Live with Kathy, for the love of being an entrepreneur. By the way, this is available not only locally, nationally, but internationally. In Germany, Barbara Hofmeister, her chapter, We Always Have a Choice, From Behind the Berlin Wall to Freedom. And the choice was clear, rich or poor. How the son of a migrant farm worker reached the American dream. We Always Have a Choice is available in Germany. To order the book, log on to authorhouse.com. It is not a coffee table book. It's a book that could literally change your life or people's lives within your social circle. Through the years, turn backward, O time, in your flight. Make me a child again just for tonight. I was raised by immigrant parents. Ma and Pa Pawn were among the many that made their way to America from Europe in the early 1900s. Ma Pawn, my mother, gave me insight into her world as a natural nutritionist, and Pa, my father, instilled in me work ethics second to none. I didn't know we weren't rich. My sister's brother and I grew up happy. One thing stands out in my mind as vividly today as it was then. Children were to be seen, not heard. You can't imagine what an effect that had on me. I danced to a totally different drummer. I was inquisitive, curious, anxious to see him dance, to shout to the world, "Look at me, here I am!" It took me years to find my voice, but it's all in my cover story on my website, KathyWatsonSpeaks.com. But I chose not to go into detail about my life. Way too long. If you want to know more, log on the cover story. It's all there. Do you believe timing is everything? I do. I began writing Choices in 2010. While writing, I had an epiphany. Why not open the book to wannabe authors by offering them a chapter in Choices? Give them an opportunity to tell their story, their journeys, and reveal in their own words how they survived to become who they are today. Oh, the time is ripe for Choices. Their stories will amaze you. You'll be immersed in the voice of choice, the voice of challenges, despair, clarity, direction, vision, imagination, perseverance, purpose, and mission. I'm going to share a chat of my story, my choices, with you. I'm asked so many times, "Kathy, what are your secrets to staying the course? Who and what fuels your fire in the belly to keep on keeping on?" The truth, I haven't a clue, nada. But maybe it's knowing that though many are selected, only a few are chosen, and I know I've been chosen. For your information, I do not have an MD, PhD, or any other degree. I've been fortunate to experience life firsthand, with all its twists and turns, disappointments and challenges, with intelligent, visionary, futuristic insights. God did not part the Red Sea for me. Early on, I had health issues brought on by stress and poor choices. I overcame them all, but I want you to relate to what I'm saying now, to know that we're all in this together. In the early 1990s, I took a financial bath big time thanks to a silver-tongued, charismatic sociopath who believed he was the second coming of, oh, well, never mind. It's not worth digging up the past, but wouldn't it be great if he refunded my money with interest? Anyway, after many trials and tribulations, I put my blinders on and looked forward to the future with excitement and anticipation. Please remember, everything in life, your life right now, has been authored, designed, and created by your choices. Choices result in consequences. Think on this. Let's bring it closer to home. Come on now. Are you happy? Is your life fulfilling? Nah, no matter where you are in life, you're there because of your choices. Your choices, your thinking, form your life. It's that simple. Your mind, your thoughts create your experiences, your future. My choices design my future. In retrospect, would I change any of my prior choices? Yeah, wouldn't we all? But I don't dwell on the past. I've learned from choices that I made that came back to embrace me, and choices I made that came back to bite me in the butt. Watering last year's crops serve no purpose. The past is gone. Just learn from it. It's over. Fini. I wonder if this book is the culmination or the beginning of a new exciting chapter in my life. Oh, honestly, I don't know. Only time will tell. I promise, choices will rock your world. The pleasure, darlings, is all mine. Choices, a nonfiction book, available through AuthorHouse.com. I'm adopted and special. We chose you. An incredible, by the way, all of the stories are true. Chapter 9, page 49. We chose you. These parents that adopted Lee, they had a dream. And of course, you know, the greatest of journeys starts with a dream. And the way I see it, there are two kinds of dreams. One is a dream that's always going to be just that, a dream. Oh, maybe, poof, 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 poof. I should have, I could have, I would have. And then Lee's adoptive parents who wanted a special baby. Their dream, it was more than a dream. It was like a map that they lived by and followed for the rest of their days, knowing that someday they were going to stand on top of the mountain, holding everything they thought of and dreamed up right there in their hand. Now the abyss, the deep expanse of the unknown. Now you have two choices, just dream on, number one or two. You have the choice to change and take the quantum leap and believing in you, believing that what you want, you will get, because you know that life responds to your outlook. And then it seems that when you make that decision to change, everything around you is crumbling. Well, actually, that's good, because it's just a phase. The secret is you need to push through this and hold on. Ride this out. Otherwise, you're back to choice one, going nowhere. We cannot live a choiceless life. Every moment, every second, there is choice. Choose wisely. And your dream can only manifest when you grasp your dream, embrace your passion with feelings. And that's what Lee did. Can you imagine? Wait, did you hear her story? You know, you live in America, entrepreneurship, capitalism. Lee loved being an entrepreneur, and of course she worked for corporate America. But let me tell you something. I have an article here from the Chicago Tribune, January 15th, 2012. It says, I quit. Hey, I quit. I quit. I quit. Can be good for you. When there are changes in your life, whether it be the economy or global affairs, whenever anything in your life takes a tumble, it's hard to imagine quitting your job. Now, this goes back to 2012, but according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, resignations rose steadily in 2011. In September, nearly 2 million people gave notice, which is the highest number of resignations in 1 month since November 2008, when everything crumbled. Do these people know something we don't? There are no points for loyalty anymore, said a prosperity coach. With so much downsizing, they're going to find someone younger, cheaper, and willing to do more than you. So people are developing a sort of free agent mentality. In 2012, today's workforce was looking for a quality of life at the office, such as break rooms, daycare centers, and work flexibility. If the employer isn't fitting their needs, they'll often move on and seek other options, despite the risk. Playing it safe is the new risky. And being risky is the new safe. Now, when this research guy was growing up, he said, my mother told me to go to school, get an education, get a good job with a big company, and get paid lots of money. But today, staying with one company is the riskiest thing to do. I think what's happening is a lot of people are saying, I don't trust corporate America is going to take care of me anymore. I'm adapted and special. We choose you. I quit is a powerful, powerful statement. Lee Patrick. Oh, what an incredible human being. I want you to enjoy the journey of a remarkable woman who's been taking quantum leaps all of her life. Lee is a role model of optimism and hope, who never wavered from the determination to choose a career of becoming an entrepreneur over corporate America. The year 1973, Letitia decided she had enough of corporate linear conduct. She knew it was time for her to quit. She was working at Bell and Howell. But her story first. Imagine being 6 years old and being told you're adopted. Oh, you are so special. My first reaction was to cry, but I soon grabbed hold of the fact that being adopted meant I was chosen and special. And that separated me from all the others. My formative years proved to be exciting and productive. Being special gave me the strength and security to achieve my goals. I was adopted when I was a month old. I remember my adoptive parents telling me they chose me because of my big blue eyes and my big mouth. Those big blue eyes won the hearts of my parents 76 years ago. My adoptive mother, Vivian Fern Gilmore, was from Iowa, and my adoptive father from Minnesota. Fate brought them together when they both moved to Chicago and happened to move into the same building. The story is that my dad came to borrow a cup of sugar from my mom. Ah, their chemistry was electrifying. Voila! They married on September 29th, 1934. My mom knew she couldn't have children and set out immediately to adopt. I was officially named Letitia McConville after my dad's mother. I was born on July 25th, 1935. My birth mother was 19, my father 21. Both were from Evergreen Park, Illinois. You're wondering, did I search for my birth mother? Yeah, I did. While searching, I found out my birth mother's age would be around 80. I longed to be part of a family. I wanted to know if I had any brothers or sisters, but the investigation proved fruitless. But I moved on. And right before I started school at St. Philomena, my parents sat me down at the kitchen table. They felt it was time to explain to me that I was adopted. I remember we were having a cup of tea. To this day, I tear up at the memory. My parents very gently told me that I was adopted and explained being adopted meant I was special because they chose me. I needed to know because the nuns would see I had been baptized at Holy Name Cathedral, where babies who were in Catholic orphanages were baptized so young. I just sat still and cried. Well, I took being adopted your special to the heights of grandeur that I could hardly wait to share being adopted and special with my friends in school. I was so passionate about sharing this that my schoolmates would go home crying to their parents because they weren't adopted. My intention was not to make them feel bad. I just wanted them to know, yes, I am special. I wanted to please. I wanted people to be pleased to know me. So intent on pleasing, I volunteered with my mother to launder the school curtains. It was a labor of love. I can still remember those curtains on wooden curtain stretchers, you know the kind, with pins to hold curtains taut while drying. No easy task. My years at St. Filomeno extended into a 2-year commercial course. I was a whiz at shorthand and typing. By age 15, I had my full-time job as head cashier at a finance company located on Chicago's West Side. Talk about an exciting job. I remember going shopping with my mother on Thursday evening. Before shopping, I went to the Pioneer Bank to get money. When I returned to the office, a guy came in with a German Luger gun and stole the cash. After stealing the cash, he darted out, going down the stairs. As my mother was coming up, they passed like ships in the night. Mom and I went to the eyeglass company next to ours and called the police. I dialed operator. Asked to be connected to the police, she said I would have to call information. Remember back in those days it was called directory assistance? But the police arrived post-haste, and the guy was ultimately arrested. He robbed 6 other loan companies. Imagine, only 15 years old, I had to identify this guy in a lineup, and oh, I was really scared. There was no one-way glass, no partition separating us. He was close enough for me to touch him, and then I had to testify in front of a grand jury. I had a couple of sleepless nights, but I recovered. And remember, I was only 15 years old. Next assignment, I was personal manager secretary at Schwinn Bicycle Company, where I met Richard Todd, my first husband. Married at age 18, divorced at 21. We weren't ready to marry, and Richard had a roving eye. Ah, enough said. After the divorce, I gave birth to Michael, our son. My mom and dad took care of Michael. This gave me the freedom to seek other employment. I found a job at Avery Corporation located at Addison and Kimball. Great! I could walk to work. Now I ask you, do you believe in fate and destiny? I do. While pouring myself into my career, I couldn't help but notice the general control auditor, Jack Puttrick. What I didn't know was that Jack's wife of 8 years was very ill. When she passed away, I donned my hat and gloves to go to her wake to pay my respects. In those days, we wore hats and gloves to attend wakes. At the wake, I met Jack's mother and extended family. Driving home, I remember thinking, when the time is right, he'd be a good catch. When it's right, it just is. Jack and I dated for a year, then married on January 16th, 1960. Jack welcomed Michael, my son from my previous marriage, as his own. I got pregnant on our honeymoon. Hello, Steve. Born on October 9th, 1960. 2 months after Steve, I got pregnant again, and Tom was born on September 22nd, 1961. Ha! My family is complete. In 1969, I began working as a Kelly girl. Temp work formed a new me because of the various positions in various companies I held. All helped to expand my horizons. I did everything from working a hardware show in the evening gown to typing for Ward Qual, president of WGN Continental Broadcasting. What memories from my time at WGN, meeting Phil Silvers, Burt Reynolds, and other celebrities, but my favorite memory of my radio days was when Mr. Quall was out of town. His limo driver would take me downtown to Marshall Fields, where I would go shopping on my lunch hour. I truly felt like a queen. After years of tempting, I was offered a position at Bell and Howell. Ah, I entered corporate America. It just didn't feel right. In 1978, I made a conscious decision. I wanted to have my own home-based business. I became a Shackley distributor. Time to make a decision. At Bell and Howell, I was an administrative assistant in the marketing department. My job was to make all the guys look good. Yeah, I was working 8 hours a day, 9 to 5 for someone else. At the time of my last review, I was giving a 14% increase when 4% was the norm. I marched into the office of the vice president of marketing and said, "Thank you, but I quit." Needless to say, I rendered him speechless. He asked, "You like your job, don't you?" "Yes," I said, "but not that well. I want to build my own business." I held firm. I was asked to type up my resignation, and shortly after I submitted it, the president came by and called me a traitor. At that moment, hearing being labeled a traitor, I knew I made the right decision. In 1983, making $30,000 a year, nothing to squeeze at, and remember, I was a woman. Now reality set in. I had to go home and tell Jack, my husband, about my decision to quit. After he recovered, he said, "Are you crazy? You'll never make that much money on your own." Hearing that, I was furious. I told him I could make more than that. He said, "Prove it," and I did. Fact, I made more money at my home-based business than I would ever make in corporate America. To date, earned 8 new cars, traveled the world, and still receive 4-digit commission checks from Shackley. Did I make the right decision choice? Boy, you bet I did. Because remember, my parents told me I was special. And I wish you the best that life has to offer. It's your choice. And you want to know what my driving desire is? Lee's driving desire is to help all ages improve their health and wealth during any challenging time in their life. And she's earned the distinction of becoming a member of the Shackley Million Dollar Club. Get the book through AuthorHouse.com. Do you have visions of being your own boss? Make it a family affair. Lee, I've learned so much from you. And this was in memoriam. Lee passed away last year. And I'm looking at her smiling face. And I do miss the conversations that I had with her. She is and always will be a role model of optimism and hope, who never wavered from her determination to choose a career of becoming an entrepreneur over corporate America. Imagine building your own home-based business. It's your choice. Log on, AuthorHouse.com. Au revoir.